Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy one horse.
Too many.
You brought two too many.
Thank you.
1,300 and something. I gotta double check that. I'm still recovering from our birthday cake. But anyway, welcome as we get ready to get down for another 2 hours plus of good food for thought with the brothers and sisters here at Soul Train Radio. In the raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Bingham, DJ Andy Cohen. As always, it is good to have you in the house. Soul Train Radio in the raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athletes Sports Network. Get all the good shit, the who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now at www.BASNNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, wherever they may be. Media Reggie, the Orlando Ledbetter Cheryl Jones, Pat Freeman, the Mighty Oba, our brother Ricky Hampton Sr. in Detroit, Michael Robeson in Oakland, California, and our own Oaktown fiend, Big G, the man, DJ Gary Norris Great. What's up, G?
Oh, they're happy in the Bay Area.
And why are they happy?
Okay, they beat up a guy named Lance from North Dakota State.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to give some people some value, Missouri Valley love. This guy is very good. He's a good quarterback.
Uh-oh. Okay, Trey Lance. That's right. I man, that you always remember somebody that beat you. That's for sure. That was definitely thought about this afternoon as the Kentucky Derby will be running again. But Trey Lance being selected by San Francisco kind of surprised me. And the whole, as the draft is going on now, they're in round five. The whole premise of hyping somebody and then all of a sudden they fall through the roof.
Yeah.
So it still makes me scratch my head. It wasn't that long ago San Francisco thought they had their quarterback for forever with Jimmy Garoppolo. You know?
Well, Garoppolo, Mike?
Yeah.
Garoppolo is injury prone. I don't care about his age. He's an injury prone.
Well, they found that out for sure. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. If we have to give him some credit, though, G, he may have been injury prone, but when he was functional, he played well. Not like that
That's
boy
right.
Carson Wentz from
right.
my Eagles. That boy wasn't shit, but he's in Indianapolis now, so that's Indy's problem. But you're right. It's funny. They never talk about black quarterbacks and being durable because they have a problem with just the concept of a black quarterback in the first place. And I know he caught hell in Philadelphia. But Donovan McNabb was as durable as all get out. He was a strong quarterback. He played and threw for 400 yards with a broken fucking leg. And
Michael,
Philly still didn't want
to kill him. For the first time in many, many, many years, last night, three people said the same thing. Mr. Lance is an intelligent quarterback. I never heard any black quarterback being called intelligent. I couldn't believe it.
No, you're right. We talked about that around Russell Wilson. And all the years that he has been playing and winning, and he still has won more games than any other quarterback. I mean, any other quarterback in history for the time he's been in the league, and that includes Tom Brady. They never talk about how smart he is. Oh, they'll say, well, he's that's Russell Magic. Magic man.
Question, man.
Yes, please. Get right ahead, my brother.
For almost two decades, the Black Athlete Sports Network has served as the definitive source for information about the black athlete. Whether it be historical or analytical, BASN has always celebrated the contributions of sports' most innovative and unique beings, the black athlete. In 2016, as we relaunch BlackAthlete.com, look for more of the same from our unique set of writers and historians We have been and always will be the soul of sports. We are BASN.
Yes, we are BASN.
You got that right. We got Radio Reggie on the phone as well. Reggie, can you hear us?
Yeah, gentlemen, I'm riding high in the sky on 95, so I hope y'all can hear me.
All right.
I apologize for the background.
Yep,
we're good. And everything, you know, but hey, ready to rock and roll. And I know you'll get the show started, but I just got to say to the Vice President of the United States, I'm real disappointed in you. That's all I got to say.
What happened, Reggie? Say it.
Well, you know that cheese-eating nigga down in South Carolina, Master, or should I say Showboat, Uncle Sam. Well, I'm not going to say Uncle Sam, because we know the story about Uncle Tom Cabin. Uncle Tom was the one that was fighting, and Sambo was the one that was the Sambo. So that Sambo down in South Carolina talking about, I raised myself up from cotton, and God, by golly, hey, it ain't no racism in America. We good niggas here. Mm-hmm. Nothing to worry about. Then the vice president comes
down. Isn't it funny how when he gets to the, they always bring out the Uncle Tom Negro promotion every time, bring it back out again.
You know it every time. But the sad part about when the vice president came out and said there was no racism in America, that was the stake through the heart right there. Now, how she fix her lips to say that is embarrassing. And I'm going to say right now, on your show, she will not be president of the United States. She just killed her chances right there.
You're right. Listen, I'm annoyed at this. Skin folk ain't necessarily kin folk.
Thanks.
That's right.
Kamala Harris can say whatever the hell she wants. She was front. We know she was extremely ambitious, and she didn't care that she was Willie Brown's side piece. You know, she decided she was going to plow through it anyway, and Biden's dumbass went on ahead and rode with her instead of taking somebody like Val Demings or Susan Rice. And either
Thank
one would have been fine with me, because I know General Abrams would rather have been president, so he knows he couldn't control her. But long story short, Harris is nothing more than another figurehead. And the fact that she had tried to kill black men with impunity before through the power of her office as attorney general and almost put two men to death without having done her full fact check, it's embarrassing. I'm sorry, that ain't black to me. No fucking way.
What he did for the same people in California, I have her.
Yeah, I'm with you, G. You know, we keep getting pulled into this trap that somebody with a black face is going to understand what the fuck is up. No, they're not. What they understand is how they're trying to get over and the methodology they're in. I mean, if somebody's beating you with a fucking baseball bat, do you really care whether it was a black person or a white person beating you with it? Stop. But I digress.
It's just really sad that in the height of the police brutality that's going on, it's like the cops and some of them, I saw some of them retaliating by open season, be it Fayetteville or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And for her to part her lips and make that comment, she should have got drunk in the day. Hell, as far as I'm concerned, if she thinks,
I'm
just saying this. For her to think that she's going to be president of the United States, she just killed her chance there. And I'm just starting to wonder, to be Dick Tracy, these actually people. Mike, I'm with you with Steven Spielberg. I think they set her ass up to make sure she don't run for president of the United States. We know Biden only got 4 years left in him, and it's open season.
His old
for the
ass
next
ain't
election.
Getting another 4 years. Exactly.
No, and you already know that Rudy Giuliani got what was coming to him. But the thing that scares me is that when are they going to go ahead and put that traitor, that treason Klansman, 45 in the hot seat, so his ass cannot run again, because that bastard runs again, he got a chance of winning with these white supremacists with the aid of the Republican Party. And
that's
right.
Why
they
do gentlemen,
You're right. Good
gentlemen,
guy.
This past presidency, they have broken more laws than anybody in the history of the United States. Let me repeat that again. This past presidency has broken more laws than any other president ever in the United States.
Well, gee, we understand why he was there. We know who put him there. And this was something that was going to be just a joke for the Hamlets to make a shitload of money. And they ended up tripping into a chaotic bag of mess, almost turning into a full-blown coup. I mean, crazy shit that was going on from something that started, in all honesty, as a spoof. And when they realized his attractive power, they jumped on it, and they rode his ass. Now, I'm not saying he's smart. I am saying that the people who voted for him aren't. But they truly believe that he was speaking for them, and they do now, which is why that shit in Arizona is going on. And by the way, at the bottom of the half hour, Jenny Thibodeau-Bork will be calling in, my little sis from Cajun country, to give us some Derby intel, as the Derby is running today. But I say this.
I remember last year. Good.
Mm-hmm. I say this in turn to this whole collective here. We know the guy's broken laws, and we know that he had even the attorney general running interference for him. It's not going to happen again. They say they got their toe in, and because they got their toe in, they want to keep it there. So we're going to see chaos like this constant throughout Biden's term. And you hit it right on the head, Reggie. That asshole in South Carolina, Clyburn, he's a fucking waste. You know,
I mean, for him and the Gretchen Cox, not to back Maxine Waters, just a few of the ladies, and none of the men, including Cory Booker and the rest of them, head-to-head Negroes, they are bought and played. I never forgot when the Democrats got the nomination for Biden and he won. First thing Clyburn told black folks was to stand down. You know, this shit's getting real fucking old. This getting real old. And 62 years old, I'm tired of seeing these bald Negroes, and especially here in Richmond, Virginia, we got the same problem here. We got Justice Fairbanks that's running for lieutenant governor, and you got the Democratic Party black Negroes standing there saying, we ain't going to support that black man, but we want the Klansman that was blackface on, bring Terry McCullough of all people back here in Virginia for a second term. You want to talk about Clintonite. It's like going back to slavery again, man. These Negroes just killed me in Virginia.
I feel you. And you know what? Your concerns are real, because they keep talking about, oh, yeah, let's move forward. White supremacy does not move forward.
Thank you.
It never has.
Thank you.
And it never will, because it's trying to recall the days when we knew our place.
Rick Santorum on line two, pushing Columbus theory. Rick Santorum on line two.
Hello, that's exactly right.
Saying the young white folks to be white supremacists.
Santorum, who called Obama a nigger. If you think I'm lying, listen to the video on YouTube. He got caught, you know, and when you get caught, you can say, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? This is collectively what the American public is being told. Now, this infrastructure deal, to encapsulate it before we get into sports, this infrastructure deal was proposed by Obama at least 17 times. Now, you can't quote me on the amount of money he was talking about, but he was talking about this for the longest time, over 8 years. And every time it got voted down. Because this Negro could not come in here and be successful. The fact that he slipped the health care thing in there pissed him off. They cut him off at the nuts with trying to get money for an Olympics or World Cup so that they couldn't do immediate construction and stuff like that through funding where they would run an end run around the Republican Party. This is deliberate. This is cock blocking of the highest order. So when these motherfucking Republicans tell you with a straight face that they don't have the money, or we're going to give you some of the money, but you better throw this in there for pork as a line item. Don't say it's politics as usual. All I'm saying is, I don't give a fuck what your ethnic background is. I don't care what your color is or how much money you got in the bank is. You got problems across the board along with everybody else when you sit at that dinner table. Baby, how are we going to get our kids through school? You know, we know the other one wants to be an engineer and whatnot. We ain't got that damn kind of money. The other one wants to be a nurse. We ain't got that kind of money. How are we going to solve this problem? How are we going to make sure that my son can get out the house without the cops nailing him into a coffin because of their fucking power tripping? These are common problems, and some of them may be more exclusively black than others, but these are problems that involve money or lack of it. And that's a conversation everybody sits down to. If you're not taking care of the dinner table issues, you're going to lose. That's why the Republicans lost in the first place. And it will come back to that depending on what lingo and what methodology they use to try to bring it back there, if their arrogance will allow them to do that or their lack of arrogance will allow them to do that.
Well, remember, the Republican Party got
they play to win,
power
they
angle.
Do it. Yeah.
Yep.
And once you get a taste of power and control, which is what they did, they think that we can do anything they want to do and get away with it. And they tell a bunch of girls, the past 30 days, 40 African Americans have been arrested, shot, killed by our police force. At this rate, over 5,000 deaths, the highest ever in the United States.
Yeah. You're right, Gary.
So here's the question. What are we going to do about it? That's the question. Because when you got Negroes out there that's supposed to be politicians and our best interest of standing there skinning and grinning and being on TV, Vice President Kamala Harris. I'm going to keep saying from now on when we do these shows, Vice President Kamala Harris, there's no racism, just Africa, she'll tell you. I'm saying right now, and these young white folks, because what I see right now, you're going to have a tug of war. Here in Richmond, Virginia, we had a three-month-old and the mother both gunned down by young criminal thugs. That's what it was, thugs, but young criminal black men. I don't even know I want to call them black. They shot into a public playground with nothing but children there. Now, what kind of mindset?
Michael, Reggie, the only thing I keep saying is I know, you're tired of hearing me say this. It is time for the African American saying, okay, you want to do this? We're not going to buy any gas for a month. We're not going to buy any foodstuffs for a month. We're going to, if you take away the green, you take away the power.
I feel you on that, but you know what? We got to stop telling everybody what the fuck is up because
thank you.
They'll feel it when those cash registers ain't ringing. You know, we always talk about them having that what you want moment. You know, the word only came within us when those bus boycotts started. and when those coke boycotts started. So it's not about the boycott. We know boycotts work. We have to have the discipline to say, all right, starting now, no, y'all ain't getting shit from us, and we ain't got to say why. nothing has to be said.
That's what I'm saying. Stop telegraphing your game plan. Because I give those NBA people credit. When they stepped up to say, we ain't playing no more fucking games in the bubble, they had a fit. And then when the women stood up as usual, hey, they changed the dynamic of voting down there in Georgia. And they don't fit. But see, again, when you got fucking Democrats standing there being swift-voted, why these bastards Republicans are changing laws the day after fucking election and Biden was sworn in, what was going on? Some Republicans already getting ready for the next race as far as House and Senate and figure out how they can go ahead and steal, not win, but steal the election again. That's why I'm so pissed off with Vice President Kamala Harris and No Racism in America. Makes an asinine statement, and now you got young folks like, what the fuck? Are you serious? We battling out here, fighting for our lives, and you going to come on TV and make that fucking statement to appeal to your Europeans so you can think you can get those votes? You're out of your fucking mind. And she needs to be called on the carpet about it.
Definitely called out on the carpet about it. But,
Michael,
you know,
we know boycotts work.
Yeah.
We know it works. And the, that was the ability to get people to do it. See, I talked to a guy yesterday about this very issue. He said he ain't going to do that because he needs his gas.
Mm-hmm. Man, it's like you complain, but you don't want to sacrifice. Exactly. Hey, you need to sacrifice now. You want this? You want a better world? It's time for you to sacrifice.
Yeah.
And getting in front of those cameras, I remember the movie X, but the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, you know, you got to watch those cameras. They are kind of poisonous in how they will suck the soul out and whatnot and distract you. And this is about distraction. That bullshit in Arizona, that's a distraction. They know damn well there was no cheating going on, but they have to find a way to keep this shit in the loop so that they can do some other dick dastardly acts that will take away from the validity of the election. This is a pattern for shit to go down in future elections. The United States is not supposed to become a banana republic, but it is, and it has. And because of it, now they're up for grabs because Putin has continued this onslaught where Trump became his bitch. Shit hasn't changed. He know he can't do the shit he did before because Biden is there to maybe put a foot in that ass, but that's not a given either.
That's right.
Now all he has to do is sit there and keep the pot stirred. You know, meanwhile, over in Russia, you know, they don't give a fuck. You know, and the dissident over there, his life may not be in jeopardy. He may, but the long and short of it is they have to keep that motherfucker on a leash. And Putin didn't have a leash last time. Trump was sitting in his lap sucking his cock. I mean, we got to call that shit exactly what it is. Oh, I met with him, and he's so strong. He couldn't possibly lie to me. Are you fucking kidding me? Can you imagine? I mean, don't even think about Obama. Can you imagine Bill Clinton saying, oh, yeah, I'll have Putin there in my house, and we had some wings and went to the strip club, and he told me in all earnesty that there was no way he could do the things that they said. He didn't hack the election. Get the flying fuck out of here.
But see, he had what we call enablers. See, Donald Trump had enablers. And those enablers allowed him to do some
those Christians, evangelical, they're the worst ones. And then you got that Rick Santorum, then you got that piece of shit, that Mexican down in Texas, Miss Ted Cruz, talk about his wife, and he sucked Trump's dick. Boy, you want to talk these people right
Grandpa
here? I just dick-dasked it, man. I hope your cousin ain't on the air right now. Are we talking? I think mom's great looking at him. Well, please give your brother a head up, man. Come on. I want to be respectful of the young lady. God.
Well, look.
I saw the time. I said, oh, Lord, I hope she's not on yet.
As this has been going on, guys, the bigger issue, unfortunately, is the fact that because General Abrams was so effective in turning Georgia blue, everybody else knows we can't let this Negro come in here and do this shit to the rest of us.
That's right. That's
and
right.
That is exactly what has happened. Now there are more laws going on the books, or at least attempts to put more ways to tighten the vice and stop folks or deny folks the right to vote.
And look, we know what the game is. We know what the results will be. We understand and say, okay, you want to do this, we're gonna do X, Y, Z.
Yep.
Now, Michael, I did an article about ball players and the recent event in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
If the NBA, NFL, NHL, MLB can do that about George Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't they do that about black economics, about black welfare, about black employment?
Gary,
they can do that with George Floyd. They can do that with the others of this too.
Well, no, think about this. That was a flashpoint moment, G, you know, because nobody expected it. It's not like black men haven't died around bullshit circumstances. This one was recorded live, and it was more impactful, God forbid, than Brother Turner, because this wasn't an issue of whether you did something or not. The absurdity of the issue also contributed to it. You know, you're selling loose cigarettes, you're dead. You use a fake $20 bill, deliberately or not deliberately, you're dead.
Yep.
How
yep.
the fuck does that happen? No.
Yep.
And lives are being made forfeit because of it. They saw this. I bet there are some people right now who are saying that Chauvin was sacrificed, you know, as a pawn, because his shit was not just so blatant. They couldn't justify it. They couldn't come up with a way to clean up his shit. That's how badly it stunk. And because
also,
of that, he had
Chauvin
to go.
Was sacrificed because they knew this. And that fool got not guilty on our brothers. All over the country.
Well, they know it would have been a hot summer. Ain't no doubt about that. But the so-called justice would have been thrown out the door. I've said it for years. There's a reason why that bitch is wearing a blindfold when she's standing in front of the courthouse. She knows what's really going on. And
sure.
Unless you can expose a situation as blatant as that and make everybody see it, to where there's no question about what happened. You know, sadly, somebody had to die for it, but they saw it. Now, there's still going to be an effort to appeal. That appeal process will likely take anywhere from 3 months to a year before they get the briefs out, put out in front and say, please, you know, can we do this over? No, you can't do it over. But that's not, and that hasn't stopped people from killing black folks. You've seen at least 7 bodies hit the ground after this verdict. So what really happened? What really changed? Not a fucking thing. The only thing that could have changed is the methodology, because we went from choking somebody to death to accidentally shooting somebody after saying taser, to shooting someone in the back of the head, to plugging 4 bullets in a girl when she supposedly was going to stab somebody with a knife. You know, you think he couldn't have shot her in the leg and that might have changed things? They're not looking to shoot the wound. They're looking to kill. Set a mass. They said that. And that's not changing. So we are in the jaws, the horns of a dilemma. Okay, so you got your pound of flesh. So what's going to happen to the rest of these guys? Those other cops, they know that their time is coming in terms of court, and they're not going to get as strong a sentence as Chauvin, but they will get time. And the longer this happens, the longer they wait, those other three, well, they'll be out of sight, out of mind. So people will pretend that, or rather, they want the people to pretend that
Michael,
nothing happened.
Also, what the officer, the Asian officer, his sister is married to Chauvin.
Yeah, I know. He's
an M-1. When Chauvin got arrested, that girl said, I'm going to court, and got divorced immediately. The same week of that arrest.
I know. This is gonna peel out over the next 3 or 4 months as this case continues. But right now, we're going to go down to Southwest Louisiana. My little sister Jenny's on the line. Jenny, can you hear us?
Yes, sir. Sure can.
All righty. How you doing today, sweetie?
We are hanging in there and enjoying the sunshine.
All right. I'm over here ODing on birthday cake and stuff, but yes.
You got to do that, man. You cannot let good birthday cake go to waste.
See, that's what I was saying. That's why I like this too. I know you are, baby. But
you cannot let
Jenny,
good food go to waste. Not ever. That's a crime.
See, there you go. We were talking last night, and I remember after Big Brown won the first two legs of the Triple Crown in 2008, Mr. Kent DeSormo, when your Cajun brothers came up to Belmont for the big discussion, and I got a chance to ask him straight up, who's the best jockey the fans don't know about yet? And he didn't even take 30 seconds. He looked at me, paused for a second, and he said, Kendrick Carmouche. And the reason I'm saying this is because today at Churchill Downs, as Radio Reggie is back in the mix, Kendrick Carmouche will be aboard the number 20 horse, Bourbonic. Now, ironically, DeSormo won from the 20 hole, first time ever, when he rode Big Brown in 2008. But the fact that he mentioned Carmouche at this time made me smile, because horse racing is not a sport that casual people follow. You either horse or you're not horse. And you've always talked about how great the Cajun jockeys are. Tell everybody why the Cajun jockeys work their show as good as they do.
They're tough. Their riding style is instinctive. They're just really, really good at what they do. And they genuinely love the sport and the horses. They know their animal. They know them inside and out and every little quirk they got. And they listen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the horse is saying something, they're listening.
Mm-hmm.
But that riding style, they're little, they're quick, they're handy. You sleep on them, and you're going to eat it because they're going to get you.
Mm-hmm.
Let a gap open up, and they're gone. And all you're going to be doing is watching out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way they are.
Mm-hmm. As we were doing some homework.
They have a rough start, and they just get better and better and better no matter what you throw at them.
As we were doing homework last night, we were talking about some of the horses in the Derby, and you said the one that seemed like the obvious one that would end up in the winner's circle is Essential Quality. Now, what is her pedigree, or rather, what is his pedigree, and why do you think he's made the favorite?
Well, when you look at his bloodlines, okay, he's got the proven lines, just like most of the Kentucky Derby winners. And not just Kentucky Derby winners, Triple Crown winners. You know, you're talking about Mr. Prospector and Secretariat lines, top and bottom, in the same configurations that produce these top sires. in the winner's circle, a lot of these horses go back to these lines, especially when it's that heavily bred.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at the horse's name, essential quality. The name fits what his bloodlines are, quite
mm-hmm.
literally. You know, these are essential bloodlines, and he's got the quality.
Yep.
Now, is he going to be able to go all three? I don't know. Time's going to tell.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But he's got it.
Well,
it won't be from the lack of good breeding. That's to put it mildly.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. Will we ever see a horseback secretary again?
It's possible. But it's not. I don't think it's going to be in my lifetime, because up until him, there had never been one like him before.
Right, right.
So it may be a one-shot deal. Now, that's not to say lightning can't strike twice in the same place. You know, if you can do it once, you can do it again. It's just hitting that right combination.
Well,
and that's.
I'm here in Richmond, Virginia. Good evening, ma'am. I look forward to your analysis every Kentucky Derby. And I'm Chief Mate with Doswell, Virginia, where Secretary was bred. And I'm not that far from you. But I had the million-dollar question for you. Baby needs some new shoes. Give me an Exacta. That's what I'm talking about. Let's get some money. Forget the winners, baby. I need an Exacta. Give me some numbers. Forget the names. Give me some numbers.
Exactly. But for me,
Come close, boo.
My top two is Essential Quality and Hot Rod Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's one, two.
Looking at their bloodline.
All right,
those
give
are my
me three,
top
four.
Two.
So that's
now,
14.
As you can.
That's
now,
the 14 and the 9, Reggie.
I'm pulling for my boy Carmel. I mean, I cannot sleep on one of my Cajun jockeys. I cannot do that. So
I'm asking for
as an underdog, but I'm also looking at possibly maybe Medina Spirit, because
ooh,
that's a Baffert horse. Baffert
yes.
horses are tracked. When
hey,
they
Mike,
go
you
to
write this down.
To the...
I'm driving, Mike. Write this down so I can make you some money.
we did our horse work the other.
Hey,
we did our
hey,
horse work the other
me.
Night.
But
hey, Reggie,
to the brother. Yeah.
Reggie, on a serious tip, Jenny,
I'm being serious.
We were talking the other night about... Hey, hold on. We were talking the last night about how the jockey Essential Quality was DQ'd in that fateful Kentucky Derby of 2019, Luis Saez. And
oh, yeah, I remember that.
We've been looking at video where they are questioning that result over a year plus after the fact. And, Jenny, you saw the video like
him.
I did. What
they
did you think?
Him.
Yeah.
I thought it was
mm-hmm.
bullshit. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be point blank, period.
Say
that was
it again
bullshit.
With gusto. I love the way you say it. Say it with gusto. Follow through with
point
it.
Point blank,
like
period.
Right.
It was some bullshit.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
told you she was related.
What the
I
hell?
I told you. Bring her on every
you
week.
Know, with all of the content, current content we've got right now, why y'all got to
yes.
pull that bullshit back up?
Come on. Preach.
You know?
Tell me how you really
Science,
feel. Come on.
That a brand new cookie jar. Mama was slamming mm-hmm. her hand in the cookie jar. Busted.
Mm-hmm.
Why bring that back up?
Because they know.
You, to me, that was a
the
lazy
boy.
Journal. It was
some of the
story.
Big boys
that
got mad.
And it was up against
the
deadline and just
boosted
the wall.
I think the underworld got mad. Some of the boys in the underworld got mad. They got to correct that wrong. That's what I think.
Oh, hell yeah.
But you're missing the bigger issue. The bigger issue is you got 20 horses, 20 jockeys on a wet track where safety
uh-huh.
is paramount. You cannot mix that with bad race riding. You're putting lives in
no,
danger, and that's what we saw.
And million-dollar horses. Don't forget that. Them horses are big money.
Hell yeah.
Somebody could have gotten killed over that dick brain shit.
Yeah.
That was
Come
beyond.
Yes. Well, you know, it's all Jenny, hold on a second. It's all mint juleps and cookies and shit when everything runs right. But you know what? Jockeys are some of the best athletes in the world, pound for pound. They always talk about that with boxing. But with jockeys, it's even more so because they're sitting on over 1,000 pounds of hoss. And you better be able to negotiate that bad boy. For real.
Yeah, not it. Hey, but Jenny, I got a question for you.
Of pure horsepower with a mind of its own, and you're up there with no stability and no padding.
Thank you. But, Jenny, here's my question to you. You know, I know there'll be a lot of celebrities there, but thinking outside the box, you had a certain former football player that got hold of some bad drugs or whatever. Now, is that a drug under, and I'm being serious, I'm saying, is that like a drug cartel or something going on down there? Because it seems like a lot of celebrities there with big money, seem like people can make some money, should we say, overextending themselves on the spirits, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, we get our bust here every once in a while. Now, we have I-10 that runs right through my parish, and it is a well-known corridor, its entire length, you know, from coast to coast. Now, you get into Louisiana, and Louisiana is very anti-drug, okay? Mm-hmm. Very, very anti-drug. This is you can call with a joint in your pocket. Honey, they're going to stack you right there. You're going to have possession, paraphernalia, and possession with intent to distribute all in one fell swoop. You're gone 10 to 15 years. They don't play. Mm. Now, if you a pale, you know, if you a little bitty pale-faced, well-connected dude, you'll get rehab.
Yeah, Wes Walker.
The rest of honey, do not pass go. Do not collect $200. It's straight under the jail, and they're going to forget where they stuck you.
Mm-hmm. Do it.
It's a hot mess down here.
Jenny, we also were talking about how the Kentucky Derby went back to its normal rotation when it seemed like they really had stumbled into a good thing last year because the extra time gave the horses more time to fill out and form up.
Yep. And now we're back to the hot and heavy, you know, really, really stressful. You know, because it's literally every 2 weeks, every 2 to 3 weeks that these three ladies are going to pop off. And
why
when you look at the energy that's expended in each race, that is a very short-term recovery.
Right, but Jimmy, why do the female horses seem to be faster than the males? It seems like they'd like to get them out on a younger age.
It's hard to explain. They don't have that testosterone flooding their brains, making them do
just like being a typical man. Just go ahead and say it.
Yes.
Being a typical man.
It's not unlike athletes that are popping steroids to get better performance. They start having problems focusing. They're very, very aggressive and very impulsive.
So why are the female horses so stronger than the males when it comes to speed and quickness? You know, they're smaller.
It's just the way that they're built. They tend to be a little bit smaller, but they tend to. And I'm. If you ask me, to me, it's their mental capacity. They're a lot calmer. They focus better, which means you get a better training result.
Yeah.
You're not finding that attitude and I want to get into everything and, I smell a mare 50 miles away. Let me focus on that instead of what I'm doing. You know, let me act cool. That way I can go back to the stall. The fillies don't seem to do that.
Is that when you see them kick up in the gate? A lot of times they get frustrated. Is that when the male horses are acting crazy? Yeah, you see that a lot of times when they start bucking up in the gate.
That's across the species. You know, spectrum. The females are almost always giving side eye to these crazy dudes acting the fool. It's like, yo, what are you doing? It's a race. Still, yo, we haven't even opened the starting gate yet. Stop. You know?
Hey, Mike, you didn't know that one, did you, Mike? I told you I've been reading a little bit.
You know they're talking. You know they're talking. How you think the horse feels when somebody say he's 65-1? He said 65-1, kiss my ass. I'm on the kiss my face.
Speaking of that, Jenny, I need a long shot, beautiful. Give me a long shot, 65-1. Come on, give me somebody close. Give me a long shot.
We gave it to you already. We gave it to you already.
Yeah.
The horse's
Which one's
name
the long
is
shot?
Brabant. Well, Reggie,
Brabant.
Shut the heck up so I can tell you. The horse's name is Brabant. The horse's name is
The it's
horse's
not a
50 name.
To 1 long shot, but he is going
on 30 to 1. He's 30 to 1. He's 30 to 1.
Okay.
Right now he's 30 to 1. His name is Brabant.
Not that exact
and
one
he's
a
significant.
Long shot. Hot damn.
Well, hold on. He's
oh,
significant
yeah.
because he's significant because Kendrick Carmouche is the jockey, and way back when Oliver Lewis won the first race up on Aristides, black jockeys won 15 of the first 28 Kentucky Derbies. They started to filter them out because they were shutting them out from getting that money. Now, Kendrick Carmouche is on the – he's part of a breed of jockeys, and there's been brothers who've been riding all along. Deshaun Parker is a very capable jockey. He's a volume rider. He's won a lot of races, but he works normally the Midwest Circuit, Ohio, and places like Turfway Park. So you don't hear about him because he's not here in the city. Jockeys like Malcolm Franklin are also in that mode. But Carmouche has been riding in New York and the East Coast for a while. Now, he rode in Pennsylvania, rode in New York. He's 37 years old. Jenny, I was asking about that last night. I just found out in a little vignette about him. So he's literally in the prime of his riding life as a jockey.
Yeah.
So the fact that he's here now.
And with his style of riding, he may not peak until into his 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's only improving so far. That's all he's done.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He hasn't slipped. If he stays injury-free, you know, and healthy, that dude can be riding well into his 50s and 60s.
Easy.
You know, if you stay
no
sitting on top
about.
Of the gym and you stay, you know, injury-free, there's no reason why you can't. Yes, it's a strenuous sport. It very much is. But, I mean, these jockeys, they ain't no joke. These guys are fit. I mean, I don't know too many people that can hold that stance for 2-plus minutes.
It's true.
Without wanting to cry like a chicken baby.
What's the weather
and
conditions
now,
for today's race? What's the weather conditions?
Track's fast. Track is fast.
It's a fast
sunny.
Turn of 70 degrees, so not too hot, not too cold. It should go well.
Okay,
good for the horses.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And think about the fact also that it's a full field. Now, this is where problems occur because
often
the best horse does not win the race because you got 20 horses jockeying for position.
Yeah.
Now,
well,
Jenny, one thing I spotted, Jenny, when we were doing this, if you remember in 2008, the Soro got Big Brown out of the 20 hole and got him to the front. Now, Robonic doesn't need to do that because he's not that kind of horse. But what he does have at Churchill is he'll have a straight and a clean path to run. Now, at Churchill, because of the size of the gate, anybody who's at 1 and 2 on those posts, they're scrunched up. Unless they fly out the gate, they're going to be stuck, and they'll get pinched in. Now, we knew a couple of years ago there was a jockey, Sean Bridgmahan, another brother, who had a good possibility of being a Triple Crown horse, and he was in the 9 hole, and they got pinched. He got pinched in. The jockeys, many of them are riding for different trainers, multiple trainers, or rather multiple jockeys for trainers, and they're going to do a goggles paisano on anybody and box them in. Todd Pletcher has 4 horses in this race, including Brabonic. And Jenny, just talk about that, how those trainers matter, because if they send in more than one jockey out there for you, they're running interference for a horse.
Oh, yeah. And it would not be hard to line up those 4 horses across the track and pretty much box in everybody and either pick up the pace or slow the pace.
Mm-hmm.
Open up a gap almost at will to let one of theirs through and then close that gap to where nobody else can catch him. And it has happened before. It's not uncommon. And it is a well-known tactic on the old Bush tracks. And not just with thoroughbred racing either. Also with the quarter horse racing, especially down here. You got to, it makes you wary of them. I would not want to get caught behind a pack of Fletcher horses.
Yeah.
Because if you get caught behind, your odds of being able to break loose in with enough track left to break away from them ain't going to be good.
Yes.
It's not going to be good. Now, that'll make me pull a little bit more for Carmouche because that's my dude. But, I mean, I want to see a competitive race without any slippery shit bullshit. You know, we don't want no little slippery shit weasel stunts.
Mm-hmm. Now that they've gone back to the normal rotation, you know, they had a chance to sit back and look at this other thing. You were talking about older horses being in better shape, being stronger. You really think this is the safest move, that they trust this and they're just going to act like nothing happened? Or did they ever take any time to see the benefits of the very thing you talked about regarding letting the horses mature more?
I really don't think they paid attention. I really don't. Because if they had, we wouldn't be doing this way right now.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't. And I'm highly suspicious of how many horses have skipped the Derby altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's been news for the last few weeks, is, you know, top-notch horses are skipping the Derby and going on to the Preakness and the Belmont.
Yeah, that's kind of counterproductive because the Derby was the race.
Yeah.
So you would have thought anybody wants to get to the Derby, but that kind of attitude is like they're thinking ahead regarding the money. They don't really care about the prestige.
I hope that's their I do hope that's their motivation. I sincerely do.
What's going to happen this year? Let's get a Derby again this year.
Well, I can tell you Pimlico is a raggedy piece of shit track here in Maryland. I used to live in Baltimore, and they used to talk about closing Pimlico down and moving the Derby elsewhere out of Baltimore because of the way it is. Because I'm sure, Jenny, you know about Pimlico. I mean, it's a ratty, touchy, dirty-ass area. Only time they clean it up, spruce it up, is when the Preakness come. So right now as we speak, they're cleaning the streets and running the rats out right now. Because they know they have to take care of it.
No,
so I don't know why they're looking at Pimlico.
Yeah, and I think a lot of towns are doing that these days. But, I mean, with Pimlico, it's the prestige of the place. And it's the prestige in a history that's past, you know, of its heyday, of what it used to be.
Yeah, it's like a plantation up here in Maryland. That's what Pinnacle Racetrack looks like, a plantation.
It's a false picture. It's an advertisement, but what's under the advertisement is not the reality.
Thank you.
So the rich come to hobnob and rub elbows while the poor folks have been hidden behind the bushes.
Yeah.
And being told,
y'all
be quiet now.
Yep.
Because,
or use enemy domain
to
take their property away.
The rich people.
Yep.
Yep. Jenny, that's do you think that the Triple Crown will get any of its luster back with the competition for attention and all the other sports and everything else that's in effect?
If they don't get away from the wealthy being the only people they cater to, they're going to lose everything. It's going to be put on the back, not even put on the back burner. It's going to be thrown in the bottom warmer of the oven and forgot about.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people like us that are, you know, lower middle class and poor that enjoy the sport for the sake of the sport, not the pomp and circumstance and wealth that goes with it. We're on the bloodlines, the quality of the animals, the quality of the training, the quality of the jockeys, the skill of the jockeys. That's mm-hmm. what we give a shit about. We don't care, you know, a flying rat's ass about how fancy the place is. I don't give a shit that, you know, Tom Brady is out there in a pimp hat. Yo, looking like pimp down up in the stadium.
Looking like something out of the Friday movie. For the record,
it's so off-putting.
Well, since you brought it up, for the record, my sister Jenny lives about 10 miles from Evangeline Downs, which is a track there. Jenny, describe. In your minds, why it's fun for you to go to a track like that and look at the horses and enjoy like a day with a race form and a drink?
Well, it's more of people like myself. These are, you know, at Evangeline Downs, yes, we do have some high-stakes races with some top mm-hmm. bloodlines and some rich folk. We do have mm-hmm. that. But the majority of what races there are small-timers. You know, we're talking about, you know, the barn in the backyard with, you know, one or two racehorses, and that's it. You know, they got two or three mm-hmm. brood mares and always got a couple foals on the ground, but they don't have a big stake. This is small time, you know, the regular everyday people. This is your next door neighbor. You know, these are people you grew up with. Hey, dude, how you doing? How's your mom and me?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's like down here.
Right. Jenny, in your opinion, with these casinos now starting to do off-track betting, how much would that help or hurt the industry?
Hi, everybody's focused on the betting
mm-hmm.
instead of the race and the horses themselves. They're mm-hmm. just looking at the dollar sign. And while, yeah, that's a part of it, it's all well and good.
Mm-hmm.
But when that's all you're doing, you are losing all of the history that goes with it. You lose all of them. You lose, learning the bloodlines and what makes these animals, what makes bloodlines and these animals sick.
So basically, from the style point, with the revenue not coming in, with people spending hot dog, beer money, or whatever, the parking, if you got more people betting online, then that's going to hurt these racetracks, right?
What's the point of having them open if you have no traffic coming in and out? I mean, it makes no sense. And it does make sense, but it doesn't. Because when it all goes online, that foot traffic that you had that were going into your restaurant and going to play your slot machines and other games while waiting on the different races to start, all of that's lost.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes a toll on the local economy. Because now that's, you know, the jobs take a hit. That, you know, jobs take a hit. That's less income in, you know, that's less money circulating in the economy itself. And it contracts. It hurts.
There you go.
What about the Derby? What's going on with that?
Wait, say that again?
The human rights group wants to ban the UAE Prime Minister for the Kentucky Derby because his daughter is missing and they can't find his daughter and they don't want to run his race.
Oh, I haven't even looked into that. That is something I would have to look into to get a better understanding of what's what before I'd even say anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's been in the news. It's been in the news the last couple of days. Everyone just got out of the Kentucky Derby.
Okay. Yeah. That's one thing I haven't even heard about until you just mentioned it. So yeah, I would have to check into that. That's about all I've got.
Mm-hmm. Well, for the record, Jenny likes essential quality, the number 14 horse, based on pedigree. This horse should win. She also likes the 9-horse Hot Rod Charlie and Bob Baffert's horse, the 8-horse Medina Spirit. We're going to throw into the mix a couple of bombs. The 3-horse Brooklyn Strong,
Umberto Rispoli trying to make a reputation out on the West Coast. Normally that would have been a place where everybody would pay attention to, but because of the shit that's been going on in Santa Anita with dying horses and injuries and it's been buried.
Yeah.
We
hey,
also
Mike,
like,
give me some numbers. Sorry, not
I'm giving them to you.
Give
the
me
three horse.
Yeah.
The three horse.
The three horse. Hold it, bro. I ain't female. I can't write that. The three horse. Okay, the three horse.
The three horse, Brooklyn Strong. The eight
I
horse.
I like you like that, Jenny. The eight horse.
The eight horsey.
Okay.
The eight horsey. Medina Spirit.
Okay, who's next?
The nine horse, Hot Rod Charlie.
All right. Getting this exactly together. And
the
what
14
you got for the
horse.
Shot? The 14
Hold on, I'm
shot.
Getting it. I'm getting
okay,
it. The
okay.
14, Essential Quality, that's the favorite. We got
right.
two bombs. We got Soup and Sandwich. You should like that. The 19
yeah.
horse.
Ham sandwich. Ham sandwich.
That's right.
For the fat
sandwich.
Guy. Yes, sir.
That's right. And Bourbonic. That's with Kendrick right, Carmouche
so
aboard. He's 35-1 right now.
So we got 3, 8, 9, and 14.
3, 8, 9, 14, 19, and 20. Work with those. That's what we're
okay,
working with.
19 and 20. Hot damn.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Reggie, get
yeah, right. I'm getting out of work. I'm going to the track, buddy. Yes, sir.
Hey, well,
I'm going to the track.
We love the fact that Jenny is so passionate about what she does. She's a bloodlines expert. And when we've done the last two derbies, I can tell you, we've nailed the whole scenario. We've been on it. So Jenny knows her stuff. I'm pleased that she's taking the time to talk a little horse with us. Jenny, you got any last words for us?
Enjoy the race. And
mm-hmm. well,
oh, they show
what other sports
right
you
now.
Follow?
That's a beautiful horse.
What other sports
mm-hmm.
you follow? I don't even know. Politics, sports. I got to follow you. You on Facebook, Instagram, or what? I got to follow you. I got the information. You got to come
on
up with
Facebook,
Preakness, man. Preakness in a Belmont state.
I have
yeah.
been in Facebook jail. I lost count of how many times.
God
and
you
can ask
brother, you my
every
hero.
Time
God
I turn around, I am 30-day banned.
All right. You my hero. God bless you. You got to come on for the Preakness. Jenny,
the
Jenny, please come on
misogyny.
For the Preakness and Belmont state. You got to come on for
she'll
both
of
them,
she'll be on for him.
Oh,
she'll
definitely.
Be on for him.
All right.
And the last one is always run on the weekend of my birthday. I never miss that one. Ever.
Well, I
got to
see
mm-hmm.
some bouquets then.
Well,
that,
I
that
promise you this, Jenny.
I do not miss the Triple Crown. That is my favorite set of races.
If,
all right.
If somehow Bourbonic wins those first two races, we gonna be at Belmont. I want to see
that.
I
heard
that.
If you pull that
mm-hmm.
off, oh,
I, as
my
they say,
God.
I guarantee we will be at Belmont.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
and the hell it is. Justin Wilson was in North Louisiana. He wasn't even Cajun. but he lived down here long enough to pick it up and do it
mm-hmm.
accurately.
I heard
and,
that.
With respect, he didn't mock us, which is
mm-hmm.
why he is so beloved. Because usually they just mock our asses and make fun of us.
Jenny, why is it so late this year? Why is it so late this year?
Wait, say that again?
Why is the time so late this year? They usually run the afternoon. It's almost an evening to run this race.
No, they, Gary, that's the 12th race. They always run late. The post time is like 6:45. That's
yeah.
that's every year that they run that.
Yeah. Because if I'm not mistaken, in the Derby, usually one of the last races of the day?
It's the next to last race. At
that's
least on the card
thought.
There at Churchill.
Because I was thinking, even as a kid, it's
always,
you know, late in the afternoon before
it was
right, which is like 6-something
yeah.
East Coast time. Yeah, that's right.
If I'm not
so the time,
even
yeah,
the
time
and the Preakness are run late in the day as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because even as a kid, I remember it was, you know,
all right, all right. Thank you, thank you.
It was always at 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. So we will root the horses on. Jenny, thank you for intel. Love to the family and the puppies.
Oh, always.
Have a good one, sweetie.
Y'all too. Y'all have a good one, guys. Y'all stay safe out there.
Thank you, baby.
I love you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
My sis Jenny, Jenny Thibodeau, boy, putting in some serious intel for the Derby. So the numbers 3, 8, 9, 14, 19, and 20. That's what we have in action. Let's see if we hit that triple. And then I'll really be on a birthday cake high.
Hey, Dr. Eva, happy birthday. Belated birthday. What's you, 18, 19, or 21?
20-something.
Okay. Well, no wonder we both Tauruses. Mine was the 23rd.
That's right. Yeah, I didn't even know you were Taurus until I saw that a few days ago. See?
Yeah,
so,
I don't publicize my birthday on Facebook, but you know how that goes.
I don't either. The only people who really knew me when my birthday was, this was like the first time where I said, okay, yes, happy birthday, all that good shit. And a lot of beautiful people showed me some love yesterday, and I love that, and thank you guys. But listen, Taurians, you know what we do? We sit and chill. We sit on the hill and watch the flowers and smell the flowers and all that shit. And we're Epicureans. We love good food, good wine, all the good stuff. So I'm in the midst of all of that. I'm spring baby. We're enjoying spring.
Yes,
and you know what? This was the first time in like 15 years that it did not rain on my birthday. And that's amazing because it always rained on my birthday. At least it seems it does. So something nice might be happening. But having said that otherwise, gentlemen, what do you think after this draft is over? Which team do you think, Gary, I know your Raiders have been percolating doing stuff, but are you pleased with what they're doing thus far?
Michael, I do not follow the Las Vegas Raiders.
Uh-oh. Excuse me.
They took your heart away, Gary.
You do it twice.
I ain't mad at you, Gary. I don't blame you. Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned one thing.
The bird didn't go to watch football team. I call them the black team. So we got a brother coaching, a brother general manager, and a brother VP. So they got plenty of brothers out there running the ship. So I think Ron Rivera, to me, they should took the linebacker from Penn State. But this kid from Kentucky is supposed to be halfway decent. Then again, you never know what the Klan's running their defensive tackle. I mean, their defensive coordinator. I'm Rush Limbaugh, buddy. You never know what, you know, his scheme is. But I think overall right now, I think that Bergen and Gold made some good moves. But the quarterback is Fitzgerald. I don't trust Fitzy because he's good in the beginning, but like a firecracker, he fizzled out, you know.
Fitz will throw four touchdowns just as easily as he'll throw four interceptions.
Yeah.
He will not fool around with that. He is hot or cold, no question.
And I got to say, the Pittsburgh Steelers gave my man, that capital man, Lamar Epps, as y'all call him, Mike Tomlin, a 3-year extension. So I'm excited about that. And that guy, Lenowski, whoever he is, supposed to be the ESPN expert, he is a piece of shit. One minute he says that my man from Ohio State Field cannot read defense. He's not smart enough. to be a quarterback. And John Feinstein, of all people, pointed out the hypocrisy. And then the next day when John Feinstein pointed out the hypocrisy of that clown, he goes on TV and said, oh, what a brilliant choice it was. The kid is smart. Man, you're
my Michael, I am impressed with your ego. The ego, too. I'm very impressed with who they drafted, too.
Yeah, you got some wide receiver help. That's a good thing. Yep, Jackson is hurt. I think he needs to retire because he can't stay on the field. Why are you paying him?
Well, they filled a couple of gaps.
They picked the guy from the same school as a receiver and a quarterback. Now you have people knowing that.
Well, yeah, you got an instant report.
Yeah.
That makes sense. You know, you play with a guy, you know what you can do and all that stuff. He's going to help you out, make you better because y'all been spending time together and not off season.
Yes,
they know from college. Yeah.
And
we saw a couple
right
of connections
like that. Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys once again shows their incompetence. They had opportunity to trade up where they really need help and a cornerback. And what they do is let them get away. And the guy Vanderbilt, the white boy that has the broken neck, his ass ain't playing as well as John. So, I mean, they just plugged in. But my thing is, you hire a defensive coordinator that was the head coach in the Falcons and didn't know a fucking thing about an onside kick. Boy, that shows the intelligence of this team. Unbelievable. With Jerry and his clan serving his sons, I hope they lose every fucking game, man. I ain't got no respect for them.
Those Cowboys are in serious trouble because you win championships through defense. Dallas Cowboys defense, I ain't buying that.
Well, it's not defense. Gary. It ain't just that, y'all. Y'all got to remember, these are union shops. There's 32 union shops. It's a bad union, but
You're looking
at other places, and players talk. You know, if Gary's playing for the Raiders and Reggie's down in Washington and Reggie's up to be a free agent next year, he's looking, he's shopping. You know, Gary might say, you know what, it's all good up here. You know, they need you, so give it a shot. Even though you may not like the idiot who's putting the numbers together, you talk about feeding your family. So, Reggie, come on up. And players talk like that. But
Mr. Aaron Rodgers, man, he done told Brett Favre all the people to kiss his cracker ass. I'm going to Jeopardy. How much is it? Do you think he's going to play for Green Bay, or is he going to sit out this year and drop $23 million, which he won't get?
Well, see, this Green Bay, people forget, Green Bay's a different situation because they're publicly owned. You got about a couple thousand owners, quote, of the team. And they need a strong quarterback. They can't get away with just, you know, idle stuff. I mean, whether we like them or not, Brett Favre kept that franchise up because he was their marquee guy. And when Aaron Rodgers finally got his opportunity, he became a marquee guy. But they need a quarterback. Green Bay needs a star more than most other teams because
Jordan Love might be that guy,
but they don't care because Rodgers is 38 years old, and they're like, well, you know, we can force your old ass to sit out. We don't care. We'll play the rookie because he's getting rookie money. Now, after three years, it's going to be totally different because that big contract's going to come up. So they're all playing money ball, to quote Tony, with this. You know, if Gary's a rookie with the Raiders, I know I got Gary for at least 3 years. If Gary becomes a significant player, then they know Gary going to roll up to that office and say, give me some damn money.
I call it the Russell Wilson factor. That's what it's called, the Russell Wilson.
Right. So if he's producing, outperforming his contract, which would be the accurate thing, Gary's only getting like maybe $750,000. In the NFL, that ain't no money for the position he's playing.
Green Bay being publicly owned, this is the way to make their headline. The Green Bay It ain't the first time you made
that.
They It goes back to the bar.
That's right. Rogers can live off his endorsement money. He's probably making damn near close to $100 million in endorsement.
Shit.
If
that's right.
Jack Prescott, I think, makes between $50 and $60 million. I think he makes more endorsements a year than his NFL contract.
Well, they just talked about, Tony talked about the French night of the draft, that the kid coming out of Clemson, Lawrence, signed a $40-something million contract with Gatorade.
Oh, you knew the white folks were going to grab him. Knew that.
Yeah,
that's why his wife married him, man. It's cool. She said, shit, this is a damn my lottery ticket. She caught him
that's
Powerball and Little Mega. I got it made.
That's
she
right.
A baby bomb.
Yeah.
Oh, she got hit by the cojones. A couple
you
of blows to the head.
Right.
She's set for life.
Mm-hmm. No yep. question.
Little Mega Million and Little Powerball. She got it.
That 40-yard million that he got.
Life. Fuck, I had a chance to get it back.
That 40-odd million he got from that Gatorade contract is nothing because he got his 20 – he's going to get at least $20 million as a bonus.
Oh, yeah.
Bonus before his contract even kicks in.
He can sign that contract now without having money problems because he got a $40 million endorsement. And don't you think
that's
the boys in Jacksonville, corporate America, it has something to do with that. Look, they have him already with the playbook and the jersey ready to go before draft day. He's been studying the damn playbook for the last 2 months.
That's right. He's basically got $70 million in the bank before he takes an official snap as an NFL quarterback.
Okay.
That's your lottery ball. Yeah.
That tells me white privilege all the way.
Well, we are pleased. To go back where we started at the top, we are pleased that Lance was selected by San Francisco. But to finish that, remember, San Francisco had Jimmy Garoppolo just a few years ago, and they gave they gave him $137 million to
Mike,
be their quarterback.
Mike, I don't mean to interrupt you. And Gary, you out in Southern Florida, I mean California. Can somebody explain to me, now, how much was his contract, Mike?
$140 million.
Yep.
Okay, $140 million. What are you doing out with a porn star? $140 million, really? Porn star Jimmy, $140 million. You got bitches lined up. You can call your agent. You can call your agent and have these bitches lined up. But a porn star, that shit. And you can't tell me that's not hurting some of his endorsement money. This guy been out with a porn star. Now, Mike, now hold up, Mike. You Joe, the corporate guy. You own athletes and everything. And here Jimmy Garoppolo name comes on. And Steve is saying, Jimmy porn star. Now, do you want your product represented by a porn star stroker?
Reggie's right.
Look at the big picture.
These guys are very conservative. Whatever they may do in the dark, they don't want it to come out in the light. You know, whether she did deep throat, sore throat, strep throat, whatever the fuck it was, the fact that she was porn star.
She got a canyon throat. She still got that big throat.
The fact that she's a porn star.
She's goggling.
The fact that she's a porn star affects the sensibilities of the image that the NFL is trying to generate.
Thank you.
So we're going to find it highly unlikely that Trey Lance is going to show up with a porn star. You know, he's going to be too busy working on his playbook.
I'll tell you something right now, when it comes to Wall Street and these people in New York and where the big bucks are, just see how many, Gary, here's my challenge to you. Since you said nobody cares, just see how many endorsements Mr. Jimmy Pornstar gets over his lifetime of his football career. Just see how it goes. I guarantee you that shit going to hurt him. Bet. I bet you it hurt him, Gary. I bet you.
It surely can't help
Gary
him. You surely can't help him.
Man, it's going to hurt him.
Yeah. It's going to be a problem. Okay. G?
I think give because us, this guy is so nice. I watched his career for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And is a pretty good guy. I don't think he's going to get involved in it.
What endorsements does he have, Gary? Have you seen him on TV with any endorsements?
Not so far.
I rest my case. You got many athletes out there with endorsements. This guy went to the Super Bowl, and you would think he would have some kind of endorsement. He ain't got jack. Not on national TV. Look, Dak Prescott ain't sniffed a damn Super Bowl. He ain't been in an NFC championship game. Every time you look, his fucking face is everywhere. Now you tell me what's up.
I'll tell you what's up. Dak Prescott is definitely a get-along, go-along kind of cat. You know?
Thank you.
He got his little pennies here. He got his little pennies there. And his play improved. You got to give Dak credit for the fact that once he got in there, he worked hard to stay there.
Yeah.
In spite of the fact that management really didn't want him to succeed. You know, why would you take a player thinking that he might have a good use if you weren't going to take him to be your franchise quarterback? They took Dak only because the money was cheap, and they were surprised when his output outplayed his contract.
Then again,
he wasn't supposed
Zeke
to be a long-time
quarterback. No major contract. I don't think Zeke got a major contract, though. Endorsement. I don't think Zeke got
I know he's been doing some sort of sleep thing, like a mattress type thing and whatnot. I've seen him in commercials for that. But all for the most part, listen, Dak knew his job was football. We know he's conservative, or at least he seems to be conservative-leaning because, remember, when Tony Dorsett came down to Dallas, they didn't want his black ass. He was definitely in people's faces and stuff because he wasn't going to put up with some of that crap because of where he came from.
Well, they can always go back and get Herschel Walker, Mr. Conservative.
Oh, God. this business is indicative of the corporate structure. Nobody is promising you a job. There's no guarantee that no matter how talented you are, somebody going to give you a contract and say, okay, come on, play for us. No, it ain't like that.
Yeah.
There's probably more corporate shit going on before that helmet and jock strap is put on than in most corporate situations in the real world. So we know
you
that
know
in spite of everything else, you can't even concentrate on what you're supposed to do if you play football, because there's so much other stuff that you have to be aware of as well. And your agent is supposed to be able to protect your ass and allow you to work within that frame line. That doesn't always happen. G, give us a sample of what we're going to hear at the top of the hour on the code.
We're going to continue the draft choices.
Yes, sir.
Also, the a little bit dirty there. We're going to continue that. And that's the hockey league and the NBA are down to the last.
Well, I find it interesting that they made Brother James a permanent target. He's not even pretending. He knows they're on his ass. And to his credit, he's going right back at them. Because when have we ever seen, think about this, because I was watching a special or series on Michael Jordan's father being murdered and what happened and whatnot, who got arrested. Now, Mike made a lot of money for a lot of people. He made so much money that they gave him a team as a consolation prize. But they made sure it was Charlotte. Because they wasn't damn sure going to give him no piece of the Knicks or the Lakers.
Yeah.
So, y'all keep these pennies. You ain't getting the dollars. Yes.
Yeah, got the nigger pennies. Got the nigger pennies.
That's right. So now you got LeBron James, who is on the brink of completing one of the most complete careers for a human being. I mean, on the field, he's making you money. off the field, he's making you money. Image, always on point. They hate him. He was not supposed to be this guy. You know,
nope.
He was supposed to be the shucking, jiving, blah, blah, blah. Give me some red meat and a white woman and all the other shit, and I'm all right. No.
He ascended.
He ascended. Even beyond Magic Johnson was a pretty astute business person. And that's why I say with pride, every time it's mentioned, LeBron James is 1, 2, 3, the cash cow.
That bitch giving double milk now, but she giving chocolate milk at them tits now, buddy. She is
moving. There's a 2% chance for that. Oh, man.
I'm so jealous of you guys. You're having too much fucking fun. I'm so jealous.
The New York Knicks are back in the picture.
The Knicks kissed my ass.
No, but it's really easy to see.
I'm still mad.
They are starving so bad they wasn't doing anything to play. They're playing playoffs.
Hey, look, they didn't want Randall, though, Gary. They looked at Randall and said, oh, we only got Randall. Guess what?
Yeah.
You got to be glad you got Randall. Randall busting ass.
He sure is. They didn't expect that coming out of him. He is really turning into a star.
And Randall hates to lose. That's what I like about him. He got a mean streak in him. That game a couple months ago when he played New Jersey Nets and they caught a bullshit play and the ball slipped out of his hand, he was throwing chairs, dust, and everything in the back room. I said, I like this guy.
Oh, no. I like him, too. You know, and the Knicks have a true big man that they can use as a foundation for the next few years. They got a core, as Tony said, of people who can get them to the next level. So it'll be intriguing to see a New York team in competition.
And Tom Thibodeau should have been the coach a long time ago. They passed over.
That's true. He's always been a defensive coach. Defense has always been New York style. Those Holtzman teams that used to beat folks up and stuff. So he's fitting the script. The Knicks are playing well. They look like they're going to be a hot ticket for years to come. You know, it's not a bad thing. You need a New York team or a New York market to really respond.
Definitely. I tell you what, New Jersey Nets, they playing good now, but all three of them guys have not been on the floor together. And I'm telling you, with the injuries they had, a seven-game series, ain't no guarantee New Jersey Nets going to get out. Especially
no
way
question.
The way Philly's playing. And Doc is licking his chops right now. Say they want to say, but Doc Rivers is like, yeah, y'all go ahead and talk shit. We stand in the corner, just wait. We just waiting for y'all.
It looks like we finally got basketball back on the Northeast corridor. You know, Boston's doing Boston. The Knicks are playing well. And, you know, Russ Brooks, for everything they say about him, all this guy does is play hard. Why do they always shit on this kid?
Because of Stephen A. Smith.
See,
anytime
you got that
force,
like
that come out of his mouth.
I have no respect for Stephen A because of that. It's like you trying to deliberately mess with somebody's career, and that's why I hate ESPN, because these motherfuckers aren't journalists. You know, they want to be personalities, and then they're going to pimp off people and then say, I didn't do nothing. Fuck that.
Why are you mad at me? I didn't do nothing wrong. Lie.
Exactly. Shoot. Well, anyway, Reggie, give us some final thoughts before we carry on here.
Vice President Kamala Harris, I'm still going to say this again. I'm really disappointed in you being part of Divine Nine. If you don't part your list and say no systemic racism in America, I'm done. I won't even vote for you for dog catching. I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Well said, brother. We will see you at the top of the hour over at the Cove. For everybody else, I want to provide y'all with this little reminder. You know, we've had a bunch of people die ever since justice was served. Now, 9 minutes and 29 seconds by itself, the group of time, you feel the tick, the ticking of the clock as these things are happening. Those last 9 minutes and 29 seconds, according to the court, it shut a life down totally. But the official time when this first started was 8 minutes and 46 seconds. And Dave Chappelle sealed the breach with this very powerful soliloquy on what was going on. We're going to leave y'all with that. We'll see after the top of the hour over at the Gray Lippard Cove. Everybody, please go safe, stay safe, be safe. Sunday, the music tournament is back on. The Big Bag will be in effect now. Get me for that. The music box. We'll see y'all later.
I'm not going to be impacted by my sunburn.
Oh, I don't think so. I think better people to ask.
Or you may sit in any of the black chairs that are on the lawn.
Cool.
The high top or the...
Thank you very much. I hope you all can hear me. Will you guys shut the fuck up? I'm just kidding. That's my family in the back. That's why I did that. Children and stuff. Anyway, this is weird and less than ideal circumstances to do a show. But the only way to figure out if this shit will actually work is to do the goddamn show. So thank you all for coming. And I want to shout out all the young people who have had the courage to go out and do all this amazing work protesting. I'm very proud of you. You kids are excellent drivers. I am comfortable in the back seat of the car. So carry on, young ones. It's hard to figure out what to say about George Floyd, so I'm not going to say it yet. I'll say something. Are you guys having a good time, or is this weird? I got to tell you, this is actually like the first concert in North America since all this shit happened. So, like it or not, it's history. It's going to be in the books. At least we tried. There's other comedians who would, well, this is not the first show, but the other shows were like in drive-ins, and if people like the niggas' jokes, they honk the horn. That didn't sound like any fun at all, did it? So what's you guys? You a black and white friend hanging out? Do you guys know each other? It's going to be a quiet car ride home, isn't it? That's good. I'm just kidding. Enjoy your riots. I'm just kidding. They're not really even riots. Have you noticed that? This is a fucking weird time. In like 1993, I'm not sure what year it was, but I was in L.A. I had smoked a joint, and I was watching the movie Apocalypse Now. It was like just after 4 o'clock in the morning. And what later would become the known the Northridge earthquake happened. It felt like it started in my apartment. You know, I'm from east of the Mississippi. On this side, we don't know what earthquakes are about. I gotta tell you something, man. Excuse me for burping. This shit was terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying. a lot of things went through my mind. I was like, not naked, but you know what I mean? Just chilling in my boxes. I put my clothes on. I found my weed and some a pipe and a lighter and some money and my keys, all these things. And while the earthquake is happening, while I'm experiencing what an earthquake is the first time, and I was certain that I might very possibly die. As a matter of fact, I remember I made a point not to scream just in case I lived. I wouldn't have to remember myself being vocally terrified. But I forgave myself for being terrified. That earthquake couldn't have been more than 35 seconds. This man kneeled on a man's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. Can you imagine that? This kid thought he was going to die. He knew he was going to die. He called for his mother. He called for his dead mother. I've only seen that once before in my life. My father, on his deathbed, called for his grandmother. When I watched that tape, I understood this man knew he was going to die. People watched it. People filmed it. And for some reason that I still don't understand, all these fucking police had their hands in their pockets. Who are you talking to? What are you signifying that you can kneel on a man's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds and feel like you wouldn't get the wrath of God? That's what is happening right now. It's not for a single cop. It's for all of it. Fucking all of it. I don't mean to get heavy, but we gotta say something. He told the police he couldn't breathe. One of the hardest parts of the tape to listen to, he said, please, I can't tell you, as a man watching another man go through something like that, what it makes you feel like. I didn't watch the tape for a week. I didn't watch it. I knew. I saw a still picture. I said, I don't want to see this because I can't unsee it. But when I finally watched it, I understood nobody's going home. Anyone who sees this, well, they're going to be furious. Oh. So the other night, I'm in my little clubhouse and I'm watching Don Lemon, that hotbed of reality. He says, where are all these celebrities? Why aren't you talking? This nigga said everybody. I was screaming at the TV. I dare you to say me, nigga. I dare you. Has anyone ever listened to me do comedy? Have I not ever said anything about these things before? So now all of a sudden, this nigga expects me to step in front of the streets and talk over the work these people are doing as a celebrity. Ask me, do you want to see a celebrity right now? Do we give a fuck what Ja Rule thinks? Does it matter about celebrity? No. This is the streets talking for themselves. They don't need me right now. I kept my mouth shut. And I'll still keep my mouth shut. But don't think that my silence is complicit of all the shit these niggas are saying, trying to get everyone to sing these fucking songs. I know all these songs. I was raised on these songs. Why would anyone care what their favorite comedian thinks after they saw a police officer kneel on a man's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds? I can't get that number out of my head because it was my time of birth on my birth certificate. I was born at 8:46 in the morning, and they killed this nigga in 8 minutes and 46 seconds. I watch everything everybody says. I've seen Candace Owens try to convince white America, don't worry about it, he's a criminal anyway. I don't give a fuck what this nigga did. I don't care what this nigga did. I don't care if he personally kicked Candace Owens in her stinky pussy. I don't know if it stinks, but I imagine it does. And if I ever find out, I'll let you know for sure. I'll tell like Azealia Banks, I'll tell. I'm the worst. But I know why. I figured out why they want to hear from me, and it's serious. The only reason people want to hear from people like me is because you trust me. You don't expect me to be perfect. But I don't lie to you. I'm just a guy. And I don't lie to you. And every institution that we trust lies to us. How come they never talk about Chris Dorner? That's a story about a man who believed he did everything right. Do you know who Chris Dorner is? Well, Chris Dorner, if you remember, was an African-American police officer in the LAPD. He was executing a warrant with his partner, who was a white woman. And white women, I support you, but boy, if y'all don't shut the fuck up. During the process of executing this warrant, this white woman did what Chris Dorner thought was excessive force. I don't know what she did. She kicked a motherfucker that was handcuffed or hit a guy that was handcuffed or something. But Chris Dorner, the black police officer who watched this white woman do this, reported this to his superior, made a formal complaint, and was subsequently fired from the LAPD. He went through the system. He took every legal avenue that he believed he had to get reinstated, and he was not reinstated. And when his last appeal was finished, this motherfucker, some wild shit, wrote a manifesto. You know where this is going. And in that manifesto, he called me a genius. Me, Dave Chappelle. Not just me, but me. He said, Kevin Hart fan, too. But he called me a genius, and he told Bradley Cooper, who's a friend of mine, don't do any more hangovers, nigga. That's enough. That's what he said. And he told his story. Chris Dorner told his story, how he did everything right when he was in the military and subsequently everything else. This is before any of this shit happened. And then he said, which was the wildest thing, he said, I'm going to wage asymmetrical war on the L.A. Police Department and their families. What's an ominous thing to say? And he did it. This motherfucker ambushed two police officers who were just sitting in their squad car, murdered them. He went to another police officer's house and killed his daughter. Boy, it was terrifying. And this motherfucker was on the run. He was doing it. I was supposed to do the Grammys. I was supposed to present at the Grammys that week. And a guy from the LAPD called me and said, Mr. Chappelle, we understand you're coming to Los Angeles. And I don't know if you know, but there is a lunatic on the streets who is killing police officers. And we would like to know if we can pick you up at the airport. We're extending this courtesy to everyone he mentioned in his manifesto. And I told the police, I'm fine. I read the manifesto. He likes me. Is there anything I can do for you, nigga? Because I'd be very worried. They found him. Big Bear. He was hiding in a cabin. When they figured out what this nigga was, no less than 400 police officers showed up and answered the call. And boy, let me tell you something. They Swiss cheese this nigga. He is as dead could be. He is done. And you know why 400 cops showed up? Because one of their own was murdered. So how the fuck can't they understand what's going on in these streets? We saw ourselves like you see yourself. It wasn't the only one. LeBron James once said something about racism, and Laura Ingraham, which I will say publicly anywhere, anytime, is a cunt. Tell him I said it. Told one of Ohio's greatest residents ever, shut up and dribble. Tell you something about LeBron. This nigga was on the cover of Sports Illustrated when he was 17 years old and exceeded every expectation that they had for him. This business is treacherous. This is a good guy, LeBron. He's a family man and this, that, and the other. He didn't let anyone down. He didn't let anyone down. Came back to Ohio, won us a championship, and is like, I'm going to move to L.A. And everyone in Ohio was like, nigga, we understand. Good man, LeBron James. This bitch told my friend to shut up and dribble. My friend is the best at something, and this bitch is not the best at anything. She's a regular-ass white bitch with a platform. And I use the word bitch all the time because this is black. You watch one shooting after another. Eric Garner in New York, first guy that told the police, I can't breathe. Eric Garner was selling loose cigarettes in Staten Island. When my kid was born, my first son, my wife lived in Staten Island. It's an awful place. She knows that everyone who's ever been there knows it. Yuck to Staten Island. And my black ass will go there, and I got a lot of fans there and friends there, but this is a very terrible place. Fuck everybody in Staten Island except the Wu-Tang Clan. Got murdered by one police officer while five of his fellow officers watched him do it. Not one of them said, Frank, take it easy, none of that shit, because they were being recorded. Because they were afraid if I correct my fellow officer on this camera, it's going to open us up for some kind of liability. And the guy killed the person that they were, what do you call it, apprehending? The guy was selling loose cigarettes. There goes Eric Garner. And then we have one after the other. Trayvon Martin gets murdered by just a regular nigga that... George Zimmerman is nobody. George Zimmerman is an awful human being. Threatened Beyonce's life. He threatened Jay-Z's life. He signed Skittle bags because Trayvon Martin had Skittles on him when he was murdered by George Zimmerman. Boy, how do we feel? How do we feel right now? This kid was 15 years old being followed by a grown man with a gun and whooped his monkey ass. He beat the shit out of George Zimmerman, and George Zimmerman murdered him. We were very upset. This kid looked eerily like the president. He looked like my own children. I hate George Zimmerman. As an idea, not as a guy. I've never met him. I'm sure I would, though. Hit streets. We got the marching. Dylan Roof killed 8 people in a church in Charleston, South Carolina. He prayed with them first, and then he shot them at point-blank range. Goes on and on. And then one weekend, a law-abiding citizen right here in Beaver Creek gets murdered. The cop that murdered John Crawford pulled me over the night before and let me off with a warning. And the next day, kills the kid. He says, drop the weapon, bang, bang, bang. This kid didn't even have enough time to register that he was the one being spoke to. This is our hometown. It happened right here. I was very proud to be your neighbor. I love the way you guys hit those streets. He said his name and tried to make sure everyone remembered him, but he got lost in the sauce. And this guy, John Crawford, was a saint. He was there buying shit so him and his kids could make s'mores. But Michael Brown got shot the same week, and Michael Brown became the story. And then, am I boring you? Well, then, right back in Minneapolis, there's Philando Castile, a law-abiding citizen who was a registered gun carrier who was trying to show the police the paperwork for his registered weapon and was murdered in front of his wife and his child. And then, right in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, just 2 days later, it happens again. And what do you think is going to happen? 3 days later, 9 cops get murdered in Dallas at a Black Lives Matter rally. Wow, I'll never forget it. It was the first time I ever thought, I got to get my family the fuck out of this place. These niggas will never understand. I'm tired of explaining to these people something that's so goddamn obvious. The guy that killed those 9 cops, just like Chris Dorner before him, was from our military. And then right after he did it, another 4 cops were shot dead in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Again, a black man that served in our military. What are they doing? Why would our guys do that? Black people from the military? Because they believe, just like they did when they were joining the fucking military, that they were fighting acts of terror. These are our people. These are our countrymen. If I were white and saw one of these men get murdered and I was in the NRA, why wouldn't I stand up for them? A card-carrying legal gun owner that gets murdered in cold blood because he's black. That's why they don't give a fuck. There's only one time the NRA ever supported an assault weapon ban. You know when it was? It was when the Black Panthers stormed the state capitol with assault rifles in California. Candace Owen. That rotten bitch. She's the worst. I can't think of a worse way to make money. She's the most articulate idiot I've ever seen in my fucking life. She's so articulate, she can tell you how fucking stupid she is precisely. She told George Floyd's rap record on the internet. Oh, he was this, he did that, and he's a drug addict, and he's not a hero, and why does the black community make him a hero? Why do you choose him as a hero? We didn't choose him, you did. They killed him, and that wasn't right. So he's the guy. We're not desperate for heroes in the black community. Any nigga that survives this nightmare is my goddamned hero. This is not funny at all. I got some pussy jokes too I could do, but I just really just... Slavery is a really wild concept. It's some weird shit. The night that those 9 police officers were killed felt like the end of the world. And the only reason that it wasn't the end of the world, in my opinion, is because at the very same time that was happening, Kobe Bryant was playing his last game as an L.A. Laker. And as scary as all that shit was, I kept flipping back to see if Kobe would drop 60. And he did. Oh, and he did. And vaguely in the back of my mind, I remember the idiot-ass bitch telling somebody to shut up and dribble. And I watched this nigga dribbling and saving this goddamn country from itself. I loved Kobe Bryant. He died. But the night, the day I won a Grammy, he died. That's why I didn't show up at the Grammys, because Kobe died. They had both of his fucking jersey numbers hanging up. 824. Well, that's my birthday. I cried like a baby. So here's what I said on Saturday Night Live that I got completely wrong. At the end of my set, I talked about how few black people were invited to the White House, how Frederick Douglass was the first, and that it didn't happen again till Roosevelt. But that was wrong. It happened one other time before that. Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson received a delegation of African Americans at the White House. They were from South Carolina. There was a man who was lynched for a $30 dispute at a grain elevator, and they killed him because the nigga was rich, and they hated him for being more wealthy than they were, and they murdered him. And the people in South Carolina said, fuck that, and they went via the governor of South Carolina. It was a black delegation that was facilitated to meet with Woodrow Wilson. That delegation was led by the AME Bishop, William David Chappelle. It's where I get my name. It was my great-grandfather, who was a slave when he was born. These things are not old. This is not a long time ago. It's today. It's today. That man's wife was the woman that my father called on his deathbed. And they were slaves. Are you out of your fucking mind if you can't see that? And these niggas say, why isn't David Chappelle saying anything? Because David Chappelle understands what the fuck he is seeing. And these streets will speak for themselves whether I'm alive or dead. I trust you guys. I love you guys. We'll keep this space open. This is the last stronghold for civil discourse. After this shit, it's just rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat. I love you very much. Thank you for being here. Good night.